Periodic afternoon excursions in Santa Fe, one of the few permitted escapes from Los Alamos, was dinner at Miss Edith Warner's adobe house at Otowi.
The place where the water makes noise, on the Rio Grande, about 20 miles down the winding road. Oppie first met Miss Warner while on a pack trip from Frijoles Canyon with Frank and Jackie. One of their horses had run off and Oppie had given chase. He ended up at Miss Warner's tea house. "We had tea and chocolate cake and talk," Oppenheimer later wrote. "It was my first unforgettable meeting." Wearing blue jeans and cowboy boots with spurs, Robert looked, thought Miss Warner, like the slim and wiry hero of a Western movie. Miss Warner, the daughter of a Philadelphia clergyman, had first come to the Pajarito Plateau in 1922 after suffering a nervous breakdown at the age of 30. Together with her companion, an elderly Native American, Atilano Montoya, known about the Pueblo as Tilano, she ran what she called a tea room for tourists out of her home. Her life was simple in the extreme.
One evening soon after Oppie moved to the Mesa, he took General Groves to the house at Otowi Bridge for tea.
With the closing of the ranch school and the imposition of wartime gas rationing, which discouraged tourist traffic, Edith gently confessed that she was wondering how she would make ends meet. As they sipped their tea, Groves offered to put her in charge of all the food services on the hill. It was a big job with good pay. Edith said she would consider the idea. When they left, Robert escorted Groves to their car, but then returned and knocked on Edith's door. Standing with hat in hand and the moonlight full on his face, he told her, "Don't do it." Then he abruptly turned and walked back to his car. A few days later, Oppenheimer reappeared on Miss Warner's doorstep and proposed that she host 3 small dinners each week for parties of no more than 10. By providing the scientists a brief diversion from life on the hill, Oppie explained, she would be making a real contribution to the war effort. General Groves had given his consent to the idea, and Edith herself regarded it as a godsend. "Along about April," wrote Miss Warner at the end of that year, "the X's began coming down from Los Alamos for dinner once a week, and they were followed by others. After cooking all day, Miss Warner presided, wearing a simple shirtwaist dress and Indian moccasins. Everyone sat at one long, hand-carved wooden table set in the center of a dining room with whitewashed adobe walls and low-slung, hand-hewn beams. Miss Warner, aged 51, served her hungry scientists generous portions of home-cooked food. They ate ragu of lamb by candlelight off traditional Indian black ceramic plates and bowls, hand-coiled by the local potter, Maria Martinez. Afterwards, her guests huddled briefly together by the fireplace for warmth before making the long drive back up to the mesa. In return for this evening of candlelit adobe ambiance, Miss Warner charged her guests the token sum of $2 per head. She knew only that these mysterious people were working for some very secret project. Santa Fe calls it a submarine base. As good a guess as any. Dinner at Miss Warner's became such a sought-after pleasure that teams of 5 couples had permanent reservations for the same night each week. Oppenheimer made sure that he and Kitty had first choice on Edith's calendar, but soon the Parsonses, Wilsons, Betas, Tellers, Serbers, and others became regulars, while many other Los Alamos couples vied for the prestige of an invitation. Oddly enough, the calm, quiet Miss Warner had a special rapport with Oppenheimer's vivacious, sharp-tongued wife. "Kitty and I understood each other," Warner later said. "She was very close to me, and I to her." One day, in early 1944, Oppie brought along the Danish Nobelist Niels Bohr and introduced him to Miss Warner as Mr. Nicholas Baker, an alias Bohr was assigned at Oppenheimer's initiative. Everyone called the gentle, unassuming Dane Uncle Nick. The soft-spoken, mumbling Bohr conversed in stumbling half-sentences, but then Miss Warner wasn't much of a talker either. Years later, Bohr attested to this most unlikely friendship by writing Miss Warner's sister a note in gratitude for the friendship of your sister. Miss Warner had a near mystical regard for both Bohr and Oppenheimer. "He has a great stillness in him, a calm, inexhaustible source. Robert has the same thing in him." Bohr was not, of course, the only memorable personality to dine at Miss Warner's table. James Conant, chairman of S1 or Section 1 of the Office of Scientific Research and Development, Arthur Compton, a Nobelist and director of the Metallurgical Laboratory at the University of Chicago,
And the Nobelist Enrico Fermi visited the house at Otowi Bridge.
But it was only Oppie's framed photograph that Miss Warner kept on her Philadelphia dresser. Phil Morrison could easily have been speaking for Oppenheimer when, late in 1945, he wrote Miss Warner a long letter of thanks for his many evenings in her company. "Not the smallest part of the life we came to lead, Miss Warner, was you. Evenings in your place by the river, by the table so neatly set, before the fireplaces so carefully contrived, gave us a little of your assurance, allowed us to belong, took us from the green temporary houses and the bulldozed roads. We shall not forget. I am glad that at the foot of our canyons there is a house where the spirit of Boer is so well understood."